In our Ideas Matter segment this morning, where we check in with the public humanities, it's our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas. This morning, we welcome the folks from New York Humanities to discuss the importance of remembering World War I through literature. Our guest is Wendy Galgan, Assistant Professor of English at St. Francis College, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
It is a great pleasure. The humanities program that is taking place is Our World Remade, World War I, New Reading and a Discussion Series, which you can find out more information by going to nyhumanities.org, nyhumanities.org. This month marks the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, and you're a scholar of war and writing. So tell us a little bit about this series and this project, and what do you think is important to come out of it?
Well, I think that the series itself is a terrific thing. The New York Council for the Humanities puts together a number of different adult reading and discussion series. And they have different themes: Civil War, serving the military, working, and scholar facilitators run discussion groups in all type of different venues. And one of the really neat things about this program is that discussions are based on readings in the topic rather than on lectures or participants' personal knowledge of a subject. And this means that people of different backgrounds and different education levels can participate fully in group discussions. And I was lucky enough to have run two discussion groups on the Civil War. It was such a wonderful experience. So one of my goals when putting Our World Remade together was to make sure I offered to all the scholars and participants in the series the opportunity to have an experience as rewarding as the ones I had. In particular, with this particular World War I series, the challenge, of course, was in putting together the readings. It was fairly easy to come up with the theme for each meeting. The challenge with the readings was not finding them, as you can imagine, but really narrowing them down, making sure that I got a good selection of interesting and informative readings that would lend themselves to group discussions. And I also wanted to make sure that the selections would help participants avoid what historians call presentism. That's the tendency to look back at the past and assume that people's experiences, environments, upbringings were just like ours. Human emotions are universal, but human experiences are not, at least not necessarily. Well, this is why when we hear the oft-quoted and misquoted H.G. Wells description of the Great War as the war to end wars, we can't help but think of it ironically or sarcastically or bitterly, because we know full well that war didn't end. But Wells, when he first wrote that, hoped that the horrors of the Great War would lead humankind to swear off warfare in the future. So I tried to select readings that would give a broad spectrum of opinions and reactions to the war. And finally, I wanted to make sure that many different voices were included: men, women, Germans, Brits, those who advocated war, and those who spoke out against it.
So is it possible to make a generality and to kind of, as you say, you were looking for different genres and styles and authors and works, but is there a general impression that is left to us about this war?
Well, as with any human endeavor, there was not one uniform response to World War I. So I kind of have to do this in stages. As events led up to 1914, there was an increasing call to arms. Writers such as Italy's F.T. Marinetti, who was the futurist, and France's Charles Mangin, a general who came to be known as the Butcher, they were planning for war, even encouraging the outbreak of fighting. And there were dissenting voices. And particularly at the start of the war, these voices were often marginalized. The Austrian Baroness Bertha von Suttner, the first woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize, published her anti-war novel, Lay Down Your Arms, in 1889. And she was a vocal leader of the peace movement until her death in June 1914. But more often than not, again, at the beginning of the war, the sentiments expressed were of the sort of rally around the flag boys type, such as works by Rupert Brooke and Edward Thomas. But as casualties increased, and particularly as the horrors of mustard gas and trench warfare became known to the civilian population, more and more voices rose in opposition to what was happening, not only on the battlefield, but in the villages and towns as well. Remember, in addition to the more than 9 million soldiers dead and 20 million more injured, the civilian casualties of dead and injured numbered nearly 10 million. So in many locations, there was very little space between the battlefront and the home front. People, civilian and soldiers alike, they were afraid, they were angry, they felt helpless. This great mechanized war machine seemed to be destroying humanity. So they turned to writing as a way of expressing these overwhelming feelings.
And that, again, this is time-honored of going to writing to express these feelings about war and to great seismic changes in our society and in our culture. Mm-hmm. In looking at this, it's interesting to see. Of course, you look for parallels, right? I mean, you look for things that still resonate with us today. And looking at the site that was created and looking at some of the readings, it seems like there's a lot that resonates today.
Oh, there are so many things that resonate today. Look, literature of all kinds allows us to immerse ourselves in the history of things, the Great War. In many instances, to see the conflict through the eyes of those who were there and to look at those experiences and relate them to our own experiences. When we read letters and field reports written by eyewitnesses to battles, there's an immediacy to what we're experiencing. We can sense that immediacy in much of the poetry of the time period. These people were there and are sharing with us what they saw and heard, what they feared and regretted, what it felt like to be who they were in that particular place in that particular time. And as I said, human emotions are generally universal. And by paying attention to what these people wrote, by looking at parallels between, if you look at, for example, Ernest Hemingway's Nick Adams short story, A Way You'll Never Be, deals realistically and unsentimentally with what we now call PTSD and was then known as shell shock. We can read that story and we can see people we know in that character of Nick Adams.
And that is again something that resonates. Is there a progression, do you think, of literature of the time bringing us then into World War II, meaning that you can sort of read in this progression of how we go? I mean, we can do this parallel through history for quite a while, can't we?
Yes, we can. And I think that, as you said, it's a good way of putting it, one sort of lead into the other. They meld into the other. There are themes that you find from, you know, I teach a war and writing course where we start with the Revolutionary War and go right up through Iraq. And particularly in soldiers' writings, if we want to talk about them first, I'm cold, I'm hungry, I'm lonely, I'm homesick. My commanding officer has no idea what he's doing. The carnage is impossible to process. The horror of what we've seen can never be explained, but I'm going to try to explain it to try to stave off future wars. So we see these resonances, these themes continue throughout war writing up until present day war writing, and we can learn a lot from looking at them. The difference between World War I and World War II is interesting because, of course, World War I, you know, ends with the horrors of mustard gas and trench warfare, and then you get sort of, I don't want to call it an amnesia, but there's sort of this differing feeling going into World War II that this time we're going to kind of get it right, and that with America, again, America not entering the war right away, but enters sooner than they did during World War I, that does make a difference in the reactions to it.
You can find more information about the program by going to the website nyhumanities.org, nyhumanities.org. Wendy Galgan is Assistant Professor of English at St. Francis College. Wendy, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, nyhumanities.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.